And greetings to each one gathered here this morning. I trust you've been encouraged and strengthened, that your cup's full already, and you just are going to maybe have a little bit spill over as we go through this message. And I'll try to bring out what the Lord has laid on my heart this morning. As I thought of that devotional meditation, and I thought of decisions. You know, preachers go through decision-making pretty much every time they think about having a message. Yeah, we rely on the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. The Spirit directs us to messages, and so I'm not here to question that. But we make decisions, and maybe afterwards sometimes we question that decision and say, why? And maybe this is a little bit one of them, but this message this morning is going to be an Ascension Day message, and I know it's an after effect. We celebrated Ascension Day this past Thursday, but it doesn't diminish the fact of how important that is to us. And this message, as I pondered through the week what to share, I was over Ascension Day, or not Ascension Day, but Resurrection, and we were out in Ohio, and I remember a brother coming up to me and said, this is one of our most important aspects of the Christian life. We don't serve a dead person. We serve a risen Savior. And he's right. He's right. But I was pondering that, and I listened to a message as I was thinking about Ascension Day, and before we got to Ascension Day, brother made a mention that he said, well, there's a lot of important ones. And he listed Ascension Day as something that's very important to the believer, and I think it is, and we want to look at that this morning. But and so I've titled the message very simply this morning, The Ascension of Jesus. And so for you who've taken notes, just to give you something to put there. I did think about Acts chapter 1 of titling it, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? But I didn't choose that. I don't think that totally brings all my thoughts out into one nutshell, so to speak. I want to think a little more before, as we launch into this message, this important event in the life of a Christian, as we think of Jesus and the important events of him when he was here on this earth. And I want you to just think about this for a while. We're going to look at a couple of these. He was born to a virgin. Is that important? Sure is. Very important. With a human body. Now we can go to the verse where it says, he was tempted in all points, yet as we are, yet without sin. If Jesus wasn't born of a virgin, didn't have a human body, wasn't physically as you and I, could we say he was tempted in all points such as we are? But he was born to a virgin. It was very important, the Immaculate Conception that happened. But he was given life through the natural birthing process. Well, we think about the fact that he lived a sinless life. Is that important to the Christian? Well, sure it is. It's very important. Because if Jesus wasn't sinless, he wouldn't have been that perfect sacrifice. And so, as he was a sinless life, it made him a perfect sacrifice. Remember the Old Testament, they were to get a lamb that was without blemish and without spot. A perfect lamb is what they were looking for. And we have that in Jesus. Important events in the life of Jesus that we and I'm not here to put one higher than the other. I believe there's some that are maybe a little bit more important, but I'm looking at them all in a broad scope. What about the fact that he died on the cross? Is it important to us? Sure it is. He gave his life. Hebrews 9, verse 22 says this, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Your sins can't be washed away without the blood being shed. And Jesus giving his life. And so he did that. Very important to the Christian. As we think about that, we can be washed clean because he gave his blood for us. Let's think about the resurrection. Is it important? It sure is. Sure is. We don't serve a dead religion. It's not just some for dead person somewhere that's maybe been mummified or whatever you want to say. But he's living. And that's who we serve and we worship. Other religions have had someone they worship usually. They worship something. But their leader that they worship, who they worship is dead. Think about it in the Old Testament as they went and oftentimes served idols. Dead. Idols. Their leaders all died and are still dead. But we serve a living, risen Lord. Very important event in the life of Jesus. Now we come to the ascension. And it's important. It's important. And we're going to look at a few things as we think about it. But you can turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. We're going to read the account from Acts chapter 1. We're going to read the first 11 verses. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And I'm going to stop there and just think about it. These disciples are still, Jesus had died and is risen again. They saw him 40 days, and they're still thinking he's setting up this earthly kingdom. And I've always been amazed at that because they're living in that present and they don't understand the fuller picture. Do you get that when you go through life? I do. I don't see the full picture. And that's where the disciples are. And let's keep reading here in verse 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taking up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And verse 12 says that they returned to Jerusalem and did just what he asked of them to do. That is, they were to wait for the Holy Spirit to come dwell on them. Now I'd like to just read two verses in Luke 24. You don't have to turn to them. As Jesus was departed from them, and he went up and carried into heaven, they worshipped him, verse 52, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. And so I just wanted to go there to Luke and to think about it. As we were singing those songs there this morning and we were thinking about praising God, I had to think about this verse, and I didn't put it in my notes, but I had to think about that verse. We should be a happy people today, rejoicing and praising God. because of the ascension,
but beyond that, because of what he has done, as he fulfilled many important events as he came to this earth.
And so then we have this the event, the ascension. Very important.
I also see an event in here that all of them up to this point that I've listed have happened. But there's another event listed in here. We're going to look at it a little more later. But it's coming future yet. In fact, it may be today. We don't know.
And that is in verse 11. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven.
That's future yet. He's coming back.
And so as we think about this, I had to think about the words of Peter as he was there. I believe it was Peter, James, and John would have been the three at the transfiguration. They were standing there. And Peter makes a statement. Master, it is good to be here.
As I think of the resurrection, and I think of the ascension, and everything that has led up to these two, and especially the ascension now, we are here waiting for him to come back. It's good for us to be here. But we look forward in anticipation to the future.
And so let's keep that in mind as we think about it. The ascension is something important. Now, my question that we have as we ponder this, what does the ascension mean to you? We listed some things of what it should mean to us, what it does mean. I hope this ascension, as we think of ascension, I hope it means more to you than the fact that Jesus was here on this earth. He had died, he rose again, and he was seen of the disciples 40 days, and now he just needed a grand exit somehow.
It's more than that.
Yes, he did need that grand exit. He deserved that. But there were promises made and promises that were kept and shared later. And promises that couldn't be fulfilled until he left. Remember, Jesus doesn't forget promises. And so you can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. We're going to pull some thoughts from this passage here. And this is before Jesus' crucifixion. He's talking to his disciples.
It'd be good to read this, but we are not going to take the time. As we think about this account here, though, he's talking to the disciples. Let's read the first four verses at least. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And so we're going to jump on down as we think about what Jesus has promised to them, what he was talking to the disciples, and many important things there. But let's jump in at verse 15 again. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. And so we're going to pull a few thoughts as we think about ascension of Jesus. I have titled these four points I have, Why Did He Leave? Why did he leave? And they're no big groundbreaking point, but I want to think about it. As we think about his ascension, what does it mean to us? Does it hold a high priority in our lives? The first one I have, he left so he can prepare a place for them.
How many years ago? Well, we say about 2,000 years ago. If it took us 2,000 years to build a house today, we'd be no more. Be generations later that would maybe get the benefit of it.
You think about this place he's preparing. The place may be built already. He's just preparing it. That's another thought I have. But even if it isn't, if he's building it. In Genesis, the word was spoken and the world was created. He left so he can prepare a place. In Genesis, he spoke the world into existence. And we can view nature marvels and stand in awe at the beauty.
What did he create it in? 6 days?
What is heaven going to be like? He left to prepare a place for the saints, for those that are in right standing with God. What is heaven going to be like? And we could turn to Revelations. I've chosen not to do that this morning. And get a glimpse of what John penned down as what heaven, the beauties of heaven. Read it. Think about it.
But I believe when I read Revelation, sometimes it can get a little bit, I enjoy reading the beauties. But I sometimes get the glimpse of as John penned it down, that it's a little bit like somebody taking a picture of something and sending it to you and saying, oh, it's just so beautiful here. Well, yeah, it is. The picture might be beautiful. But do you ever get the feeling sometimes that pictures just don't do justice to it? To what the seeing in person is?
Well, that's what I see when I think about when I read Revelation and hear what John has penned down. He tried to encapsulate it into words as the Holy Spirit helped him with it. But it's still so much beyond what we can comprehend and what he could pen out for us. He left so he can prepare a place for them and for us. It's like John saying, my pen just couldn't describe the beauty. I believe that's what his statement would be. And the second one I have, as I think of why did he leave? He left so he can intercede for us. Mark 16, verse 19. I'd like to read that verse. I'm not saying Jesus couldn't have interceded for us here, but I think it's so much better in person. Mark 16, verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. That's the ascension account in Mark. He's sitting on the right hand of God, interceding for me and for you. Do we realize what that's like? What's happening here? We have Jesus on the right hand. The man that had the human body. We said he was tempted earlier. We said he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He was a man that understood our temptations. He's a man that understood the trials. He's the perfect man to sit there and to intercede to the Father for you and I. Because he understands us. But he left so he can intercede for us. He's there in heaven interceding for us. One aspect of it. Why did he leave? So he can be there with Jesus. Or with the Father. Excuse me. Jesus left so he can be with the Father. I want to tie this point with the third point I have.
Why did Jesus leave?
Jesus left so the Holy Spirit could come.
John 14, verse 16, as we read that account there, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Now this another comforter has the meaning of another of the same kind. It's Jesus talking. In other words, this Holy Spirit is going to be another of the same kind, just as Jesus was for the disciples. The Holy Spirit can be for you and I this morning. Another of the same kind. We have the Trinity. Jesus is in heaven interceding with the Father. There's two of them. Two parts of the Trinity. Now we have the Holy Spirit. You see the perfect picture? We have Father God in heaven. Part of the Trinity, three in one. Jesus is there interceding to him, understanding part of him. There's also a part that lives within you and I that is here on earth, helping us. Do we have any reason to be in failure and defeat? No. We have another of the same kind. He's explaining to his disciples before his death about the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. It's going to give to them, and he needed to leave so he can give the Holy Spirit. Let's think of the blessings of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit in the believer. It's indwelling in every believer. We can have him indwelling in us. Jesus in his human body was limited to those he was with. As he was taken on the human body, he was limited to those he's with. And we often see that he was with his disciples. And he limited his time, or he gave his time to them and to those he met. But the Holy Spirit is not that way. It can be in each and every one of us. As Jesus in his human body was with his disciples, think what his presence meant to the disciples. He is sending another comforter, another of the same kind. And think of what Jesus has bought in his human fleshly body meant to the disciples. When there's a storm at sea, where do the disciples turn to? "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" There is Jesus in the boat. He was the one they turned to for help, for direction, for comfort, for safety, and the list can go on and on and on. If we have another of the same comforter that is with us, dwelling in us, he can be there for us daily as he's in us, being there for us, dwelling in us, and helping us. Jesus walked alongside his disciples. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. Jesus spoke to them through their ears. The Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. Jesus' followers could not always be with him, but we are never away from the presence of the indwelling Spirit. And so, to sum this point up, the Holy Spirit can be anywhere on the globe at the same time. It's something Jesus didn't do. He is there wherever there are believers. And so we think about the ascension of Jesus. What did it mean? Why did he leave? For something, so he could give us something better. You know, we think sometimes, maybe a little bit like the disciples, why didn't Jesus just stand here or stay here and set up his church, lead his church in his physical body? Wouldn't people listen more? Wouldn't people follow him more? He gave us something so much better. We have the intercession of him up there when we make mistakes. And we have the Holy Spirit, part of the Trinity, part of Jesus, part of God within us. So much better. We're thankful he left so he can send that to help us through, and he can be there interceding for us. The fourth one I have, why did he leave? So he can come back. As I pondered this point, I had to think of that account there that we read in Acts chapter 1. As the angels were there, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. We could have read in John 14 again, but as I ponder, he is coming back in like manner as you have seen him go. It was a normal day. Believes. As I think of the disciples, they're walking, talking with Jesus. He's sharing some final words with them. While he spoke these things, while they beheld him, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. Just like that. He's gone. The disciples are looking steadfastly. Where'd he go? He disappeared into the clouds. How's he coming back? When's he coming back? And then these angels, two men, I call them angels, stood by them in white apparel. Why stand ye gazing? Let's not be shocked about it. He left so he can come back. He's coming back in the like manner as you've seen him go. Someone needs to leave before he can come back. It's a very simple fact, but it's so true in our natural life. You can't come back until you leave. Same as for Jesus. He left so he can come back. John 14, that verse 2 and 3 that we had read there, Jesus explained to the disciples he is going to be leaving them, and the disciples didn't understand it. But I believe after this, as we think about the joy that they had as they returned to Jerusalem, they started to understand that there's a bigger picture and that he left them. But he's going to be coming back. I don't know if they thought at that point whether he's coming back yet that day or next week. But we know that the people gathered there in Jerusalem and were worshiping. We didn't read those verses. Let's just read Acts chapter 1, verse 12. And they returned unto Jerusalem from the Mount Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went into the upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. There they were, following the commands that they had to go back to Jerusalem and to stay there until he sent something better, something let's just leave it, something better to them. And then we know that as the Holy Ghost, as it was poured out to them in the day of Pentecost about 10 days later. I don't know what they thought about in those 10 days when Jesus is coming back. But we know that they, in between this, the Holy Spirit being poured out and Jesus' ascension, let's reverse that, between Jesus' ascension and the Holy Spirit being poured out, that's the way it happened. We know that the last part of chapter 1 of Acts lists the account of when Peter stood up and said, we need to replace Judas. And if you go to an ordination, that scripture's used. It's a lot scripture. As someone was ordained to help,
the disciples. But Jesus left so he can come back. And we love this account so much as we think about it. He gave us something better. But we are looking forward to the time when he can come back. Because when he comes back, we can go to be with him in eternity. Now I touched that the disciples were wondering what this meant. When Jesus is coming back. In verse 6, we also have that where I highlighted that the disciples were wondering when Jesus is going to restore Israel. In verse 7, he says this: "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power." And Matthew 24, verse 36 says this about his return: "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." We don't know when Jesus is returning. When he's coming back, his promises were kept and are so foundational and important to the believer today. So his ascension, as he went up, and his promise that he's going to return again, it should be riveted in our minds that he is coming back. And it should help us to live life as we ought to in light of his return. You can turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. Just a few thoughts in as we think about his return. First Thessalonians 4. Verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that ye which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." I stopped reading there, because this next verse can be a comfort or a scary thought. Or what we've read could be a comfort or scary thought. But if you're right with Christ, you can claim, verse 18, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words," as he's coming back. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52 says, "As in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Well, he's coming back. He left so he can come back. The trumpet is going to sound. We have that. How it's going to happen. Trumpet's going to sound, the dead are going to be raised, and then we which are alive and remain, we're going to be changed. A few closing thoughts. What is the ascended Christ doing for us now? Well, we looked at that he's preparing a place for us. We saw that in John 14. He's interceding for us. The Holy Spirit is indwelling us as believers. But are we looking forward to that day when we can go to be with the Lord? Mark 16, verse 19. "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, interceding for us." Now, as I think about his return, Christ will return right on time. I know there's a lot of people that make predictions, have watched the promises being fulfilled.
and say, we're closer, and I do agree with you. But I don't think there's any more promises that need fulfilled. It's just us, and that Jesus can return to receive us home. Many other promises have been fulfilled. This one will be fulfilled as well. He's coming back. He ascended. He left so he can come back. The serious question is, are you ready for that day? Is your daily life, is the life of serving Christ such a way that you don't have to be fearful, but you can have comfort in your heart and life because I'm living for God. May God help us to that end. Let's kneel for prayer.